This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Power Talk with Thabiso Kodani, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Power 98.7.
Six minutes after 10, it is the second hour of a Power Talk. One of the issues that we wanted to talk about today is what happened last week. I think it was on Friday when the president signed the law basically forcing political parties or obligating political parties to reveal who their funders are. We thought that it's important so that we get a sense of what does this whole Political Party Funding Act, which will kick in April, entail. So that's exactly what we'll talk about. And we've got our dependable political editor in Hajar Omarji, who is going to speak to us about this particular issue. We'll also speak to Noxolo Gwala, program officer in the Elections and Political Processes Department at the Electoral Institute for Sustainable Democracy in Africa. Noxolo, good morning to you and welcome to a Power Talk to start off with you.
Good morning, Thabiso. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's a
Thank
pleasure
you so much.
To be here.
Can you give us a broader perspective in terms of what informs this political party funding? Where does this come from, and how is it going to change the political landscape for the betterment of our democracy, so to say?
Okay, certainly. So we can say that the act is basically very much long awaited because there have been over the years, as we've held elections, growing calls, especially it's been a civil society-driven act, whereby, of course, there's been lots of unhappiness in terms of how the relationship between political parties and also the private entities that fund them. And that was seen largely, especially as all the commissions of inquiry started to spring up. So what happened is that in 2019, before the general elections that we were heading into, the president sent it to the Political Party Funding Act. And this Political Party Funding Act, the main thing that it sought to do was to actually regulate private funding. So now parties have to basically disclose who they are getting their funds for. And mostly that was driven largely by civil society groups who said that voters have every right to know that when they cast their ballots, where are their parties that they are voting for getting the funds to actually run campaigns and to also operate as political parties. So that was basically the need for the Political Party Funding Act. But we can say that it didn't apply to the 2019 general elections because the IEC said that because of the large steps it had to take to basically undertake the role of now having this oversight of how parties are getting the funding, they basically needed more time to implement. And as a civil society as well, we still saw a lot of gaps in the Political Party Funding Act as well. And that was the main reason basically for this delay, whereby the act ended up not being operational for 2019. So in a nutshell, that is what has driven what we see now as the president ascends again.
So does it only kick in April, or can we go back to look at your CR17 files, among others, as an example?
That will be a very tricky one. It will really depend on how far civil societies can push as well, because of course, since the act starts now in April, I'm not sure. It would have to be a directive of the IEC as to how they want to now approach the implementation, because that's largely left to them. And as civil society as well, we stand guided by that in terms of what their regulations say, as well as from when the reporting starts, basically. Because political parties as well, when the IC was consulting them, did say that they need enough time to also set up the capacity, because all of political parties from then on will need to have some sort of financial wings within the parties that actually are responsible for recording donations that come in or funds that come in and actually disclose that to the IEC. So it's still a lot of groundwork that has to be done.
Hajra, good morning to you. Welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning, Tabi. So it's my first day back officially.
Oh, is that so?
It's been a busy morning.
Yeah. And I see you are taking extra precautions as well, not like some premier somewhere in the country who kept the mask on her fingertips. I see you've got it on. Extra caution. Very good.
So everyone's coming back.
Yeah.
Which means this becomes the hotspot.
Yeah.
And there's no guarantee that we will survive. And even if we do survive, that we will not give it to someone else.
Yeah.
And they could die as a result of us infecting them.
Absolutely.
So if you can hear me clearly, Mo, then it shouldn't be an issue, right?
Yeah. Let's talk about this political funding thing. Will it change anything?
So I was,
and I'm asking you this question deliberately because politicians have got a way of, you know, looking at loopholes and all of that.
But like criminals.
Yeah, well, if you say so. So, yeah.
So some years back, I sat in the Constitutional Court and IDASA had brought the issue of party political funding to the court. And the Constitutional Court judges came out clearly that there needed to be regulation. But it has taken us many, many years to get to this point because all opposition parties, including the big and the small ones, have been opposed to this regulation. Now, I've gone back to read what exactly the regulation says. And quite interestingly, it deals with amounts above 100,000 rand, not below 100,000 rand. And it says that foreign agencies cannot donate to us without it be, or donate to political parties without it being declared, unless it's for things like training.
Yeah, capacity so building and all
so,
of that.
So
yeah.
There are already loopholes in it.
Yeah.
But also, you spoke about the CR17 funding. This does not cover what happens within a party.
Ah.
So when you aspire to be president and raise money to become president of a party,
yeah,
this does not cover that.
But that's interesting because I would have thought it speaks to money that goes to a party, whether candidate or not.
So the money would go to a candidate.
Yeah.
This holds parties liable. Even that candidate does not disclose to the party how it received its money. Where President Ramaphosa got into trouble is he tried to modernize his election fundraising thing. And
yeah,
he did everything through bank accounts. People had to bring receipts. Other politicians in the ANC and opposition parties essentially give money out with cash out of the back of cars.
So what are you saying? Are you saying that if I give money to a politician who is a leader of a party, if I give money to Herman Mashaba at a bank account that he has set up as he's traversing the country trying to, you know, canvass for the local government elections, I suppose, that does not apply. It is only when the money goes to their political party itself.
No, it applies to Herman Mashaba because that money is going into his party's campaign, which is contesting elections.
Or it is only when there is an inter-political contestation
within that party, which is why the CR17 campaign funds would not have to be disclosed.
And you, is the issue less than 100,000 or 10,000 that is at play?
Well, we're waiting for the final regulations from the IEC, but we're looking at 100,000 in terms of what we've seen in Parliament.
Yeah. Because that also is a loophole, isn't it? Because you can plant 50 people with 99,000 rands. Right.
And a foreign government, a foreign businessman can give you money and say it is for training under the reference in the bank account. That is the loophole politicians have found. And by the way, all political parties, all of them, have now agreed to this.
Nakolo, it seems as if we're likely to, this is not over by a long shot, too many loopholes as our political editor is raising there. Are there issues of concern from your vantage point?
Definitely. Despite just the fact that it doesn't cover the internal party conferences and so on, as you've said, the main thing, in my understanding, was that the president, the IEC, and everyone were taking lots of time to consider these loopholes because they have been discussed with parties, with civil society organizations, and so on. And the idea was that with the time we have, it would be best to rather address those loopholes so that once regulations are completed, we have covered as much as possible to close up those gaps. And beyond that as well, the interesting thing is that this act actually hands more powers to the IEC in terms of who administers basically the examination of financial reports from parties and overseas compliance. And there are two approaches, basically, if we look at this globally. In Europe, they tend to leave that function to auditing agencies or other specialized institutions. But it seems like in our case, especially in Africa and so on, EMBs are actually forced to undertake this function. And in some cases, courts even get involved in terms of handling breaches and so on. So my main concern has always been that the IEC is supposed to be an independent Chapter 9 institution. And if it now gets into this political realm of having to actually now appropriate money as well, not just to maintain oversight, because at the end of the day, they also have to, they're not now only responsible for seeing, yes, the ANC or the DA and so on have disclosed to us how much they're getting. They now actually have to go in and say, businesses, we are handling this money on the party's behalf, and we actually disburse this money according to some formula, as they've stipulated in the act. In my opinion, it's a bit risky for the IEC, which has really been a trusted institution, to get into that realm of actually now disbursing funds. And if you look at the act closely, it even says that IEC would also have to fundraise on behalf of political parties. I'm not sure why they are basically having such extension in terms of their mandate and whether they can be able to do this capacity-wise, because as we understand, we never had anything related to private funding in terms of looking at private funding. And that's why many people were looking at the Promotion of Access to Information Act, because that was largely the only framework and so on available for CSOs and others to hold parties accountable. So I think that's one of the things that really need to be considered more importantly, because yes, there are gaps, but the capacity of the IEC as well to carry this out, I'm still a bit skeptical when it comes to that.
So I know you may want to respond, Hajira, to some of the points, but here's something that I'm thinking aloud here, and I'm glad you are here to clarify it. This could be an advantage for us as society to have access to this information, but on the other hand, it could be a disadvantage for new political parties that will emerge out of April. Because what we know is that these funders would sort of fund those that money would fund different political parties, knowing that it is their secret, you know, they won't upset the other against the other type of a thing. Okay. Now, if you are a new party and you make noise that seeks to dismantle the ones above you, and these guys give them money because they see them as potential important political players. Now, with this revealing of this information, it would either mean that they would get little than what they could have got because they would want to give them money that is not entitled to be exposed, or that they won't get money at all. Then, on the other hand, you are then destroying the same democracy that you are trying to promote, Hajira.
So I think you're quite right. I think we've been around politics for some time to understand how political parties are funded. And my understanding is that a big business in South Africa would give 40 rand to the ANC, 39 rand 50 to the DA, and maybe 13 rand to the EFF or the Freedom, or Freedom Front Plus, depending on where their own biases lie. And I think this will certainly not help smaller political parties, say, and a Herman Mashaba, who is fighting against the agenda of an ANC or a DA.
And the DA.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Herman Mashaba would get a lot less in terms of billions in order to fight a campaign, and would not need the billions the ANC or the DA or the EFF need in order to fight a campaign. They would need a lot less an amount. I've just checked, it is 100,000 rand in terms of the threshold. Yeah. Another big problem, Thabiso, the issue of the of party political funding bill raises, is whether or not this is now going to lead to businesses not giving the political party money, but giving the individual money. Now, if that individual, and I would think Herman Mashaba would deposit it into the bank account of his party.
Yeah.
However, how the ANC, the DA and the EFF work is they work in cash payments, especially on election day. So there's nothing that stops me as a business from giving money to, say, a Jeff Mokobo and him dishing out that money in cash. There is then no paper trail and no audit.
Yeah.
However, in saying all of this, I think President Ramaphosa and the ANC must be applauded for pushing this through. Because even though it is not ideal and there are a lot of loopholes, struggle's not an event. And this is measurable progress in terms of party political funding.
All right. Before we go back to Nokolo, let me go to Putana in Rosebank, who's been holding patiently. Good morning to you, Putana.
Good morning, Thabiso. Good morning, Harja. Good morning to the guests. Is it by accident that there are loopholes on this law?
Of course not.
Oh, Putana.
Are they going to deal with the past events? Edwin Sodi has given lots of money. Asbestos is still there.
Okay, I hear you. The core question, Nokolo, is it by accident that these loopholes are there, or is that probably why it was signed into law to kick in April?
I think we have to go to the parliament to get that answer.
So what's your view on smaller parties and their chances of survival under this new act, Political Party Funding Act?
Yes, I think as well, another important thing we're not talking about is the issue of the independent candidates as well.
Yes.
Because, you know, they will also have to come into the picture. And
nationally
at the time
and provincially, yes.
Yes, and the act didn't necessarily cater for that as well. So it becomes important really for the smaller parties, because in a way, they are getting more than they used to get under this act, because as far as public funding is concerned, the formula was readjusted where now it's before it was 90% that would be distributed proportionally. Now it's 66%, and equitably it was 10% that would be distributed to parties. Now it's around 33%. That's the same as well with the private funding. So in a way, smaller parties here stand to benefit a lot if, of course, businesses come into the fore and actually use this avenue that is now being provided by the IEC to say that as businesses, as individuals and so on, stay neutral for the better health of our democracy here in South Africa, especially with what has been happening. So I think, in my opinion, the act is a big step towards what? Actually towards holding political parties accountable, whether it is the ruling party or the smaller parties, because at the end of the day, we've ended up in a situation whereby party interests actually trample on the very governments that parties say that they want to run. And we haven't been holding political parties accountable in terms of how themselves handle the resources that they receive, and that translates as well to what you see at government. Yeah. So party interests have really been at the expense of the government, and of course, and it has cost government a lot in terms of how resources are used, and so on. So the key value I see with this act is that it will really look at to the extent to which corruption and the integrity of parties or candidates can be safeguarded.
Yeah.
Because we are now basically looking into each political party, whether small or big, to say, are you healthy enough in terms of how you handle money and how you deal with businesses and so on, for us to trust you with our vote as a party. So that's the main core of this act, basically.
So, Hajar, you know, unfortunately, we're running out of time. But here's one thing about me, you, Nicole, and everybody else who's listening. We are not naive. These corporate sectors, when they fund these political parties, it's because they want to sway them policy-wise, okay?
Yeah.
They want to sway them, or they have a particular bias and a privilege and want to protect.
Absolutely. And they may not like them, by the way. They may be giving them money, but they would do it from a persuasive point of view in terms of what they want to benefit them as companies.
Yeah.
Now, what does this say about... Because I'm thinking as a consumer... If I am a loyal member of Bank A, and I see that Bank A is giving political party X R1 billion, and I don't like that political party because I think this is a political party that is dragging us back in this country, I will go on Twitter and say, I'm no longer going to be your client because you are giving money to this political party that I hate. Those dynamics will come into play as well, isn't it?
Which is a good thing, because our spending power and where companies spend the money we give them is important. And I do agree with Nkolo, this is a big step in the right direction. But I also agree with you that politicians will find ways in order to navigate the system to get what they need done. I keep going back to what President Ramaphosa promised. He promised before he came into office, even as ANC president, that he would be Chelsea Burnett Sully, that guy who flew into the plane into the Hudson River in New York.
Yeah.
He would handle governance. He was pilot.
Yeah.
And in terms of transparency, it's a big step. But the CR campaign bank records have not been disclosed by him.
Yeah.
Transparency and our politicians leading by example, which is to the earlier point you made as you started the show.
Guys, thank you so much for speaking to us. Nkolo, really appreciate your time, ma'am. That's Nkolo Gwala there, who is a programs officer at the Local Institute of Sustainable Democracy in South Africa, as well as Hajo Omadio, your colleague here at Power 987. She's the political editor. And of course, I mean, you know, a couple of your tweets are also coming through on this particular matter as well. Keep them coming through. We'll acknowledge them. Time permitting, Zakes basically saying that this political funding bill is useless. Why, after the society questioned the CR17 bank statement, and it will start in April. Why not retrospectively? Again, South Africans know that Cyril was funded, not my ANC, because the Treasury never had these monies. We are dribbled here. This is what Zakes is saying. And of course, a couple of you also opining on this issue. As I said, time permitting, we'll focus on all of these issues. Tell you what, we'll go to news headlines with Shoki, and then we'll have traffic. When we come back, we'll talk about another very important issue, the issue of what is happening in Mozambique, Cabo Delgado. We are told that South African companies are actually selling arms in Mozambique. These are some of the reports that we are getting as well. And you'd know also that there is a Russian element to this particular story as well, because the Mozambican army is so derelict to a point where they can't do anything to thwart what is happening in Mozambique. And now they are using the army, which is from Russia, which is operating there, which is apparently in loggerheads with the Mozambican army because of communication and because they want to do things their own way and all of those things. But we'll talk about that. People have been killed, 2,000. Many people have been displaced. Companies are now arming themselves. We are told those are operating in that space. It's just a mess. It's just a big mess. If you saw the Business Day newspaper's editorial today, they are also calling on SADC to come in and discuss this issue. They've been fast asleep on this issue, as always, like the AU. The AU is like fast asleep. And nothing has been happening for so many years on this issue. We'll try and make sense of it between 10:30 and 11:00. But for now, news headlines.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.